We're foreseeing, we also are compassed because I think we stopped right down there where I got my little marker. We're foreseeing, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And remember, this race is not a microwave race. It's not an instant. No, it's kind of like a crock pot. You turn it on low and you wait 2 or 3 days before you food, or a day before you food ready. And that's the same way, because as we were talking even last Sunday, you see these people falling away and all that. It's just, as the Bible says, those who endure to the end shall be saved. So, and then you look in the Bible, though, in the book of Matthew, and you see that the seed that Jesus planted, the children of the kingdom. See, we forget about that. The children of the kingdom is who? Us. And then he threw the seed out, and then it went by the wayside, and it grew up and got so high, and then what? It didn't get no water, didn't get good roots. What is good roots? Good teaching. Good. I was thinking the other day, you know, we were talking about, and I was talking about it, Brother Tim, about do's and don'ts. And we all have to go through do's and don'ts. But then it becomes a love affair with God, to where you want to go to church, you want to fellowship with brethren, you want to read your Bible. I mean, if somebody has to tell you to press play, if somebody's got to tell you to read your Bible, somebody's got to tell you to study, then, you know, I doubt your experience, because that's what we're built on.
Right.
Now, to do it all the time, listen, we all got to live our lives. But we can take that little bit of time to let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. So we still have to, as babies in Christ, we still have to do things. But I like what somebody said one time, you know, God doesn't need our money, but the Bible is full of tithing. That's not for God. He can make all the gold. He can make this whole place one big ball of gold. So he doesn't need your money. You say, well, I got to tithe because. No, you tithe because it makes a cheerful giver. That's what the Bible says. And you learn to give because that's what a Christian experience is. It's giving. It's giving. And the money that we give and the tithe that we give, it goes toward the kingdom of God. But it's not that the kingdom of God is going to collapse if you quit paying your tithe. No. No, he doesn't need your money. But he needs you to be a cheerful giver. He needs you to be able to learn how to give. That's the same way about church. It's not so much the building, but you need to learn to come together and to you know, bind yourself together
right.
with the children of God. Have some fellowship with the children of God.
Amen.
Like Dad and Brother Dean and them out in Colorado couldn't find a church that Sunday to go to. There wasn't Colorado in that part. There wasn't a message church to go to. So they just went to a cafe and sat down and had their own little Bible study right there. Again, well, see, that's fellowshipping together. That's bringing in fellowship. You wanting to do the things of God. You wanting to come to church. Wanting to do these things.
Amen.
I mean, if it's a drudgery to you, then you don't have the new birth. You just do not have the new birth if it's a drudgery to come and visit your family members. All right? But you got to run with patience, so you just got to keep coming. Say, why is this going so long? You know why it's going so long? Because of me. And you need to say the same thing. It's because of me. Say me. Well, then you're not talking about me. You're talking about you. So every one of us have that. We have to deal with things. But I was thinking the other day, we were preaching on up there, but you come to a baby form. We were talking about faith. You come where Brother Dale's talking about that faith in the bottom of the pyramid. When you come to that justification, because I want to get to this in a second, when you start on your journey, like Brother Dale's saying, faith is not an ad.
Right.
No, faith's not an ad. It says add to your faith.
Yeah.
Your faith.
Mm-hmm.
When you and God come together as one at the new birth, it becomes your faith. Brother Brown said, this is my eye, God gave it to me. So it becomes your faith. Add to your faith. Then you got seven ads. Right? But now, you can stop anywhere you want to. You have that still God-like quality or that ability to stop anywhere you want to. But the Bible says those who He has justified, He's already glorified. So if you're if you're justified today, that's what we were talking about at Brother Tim's, going through the three stages of justification, sanctification, baptism, Holy Ghost. And you'll hear it if you get the tape. But baby form justification, you're not thinking about glorification. Yeah. When you come to the altar the first time you got saved, not born again, saved. When you come to the altar, confess your sins, and God is just to forgive you, right? You're not thinking about the headstone, you're not thinking about seals, and you're not thinking. You're just glad that God has took them past sins away from you.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's a happiness. You're not saying, oh, now that I'm justified, I'm already glorified, I can go do anything. No, you can't think that way.
Right.
You're a human being. You gotta think, God, you've just forgiven me of my sins, and now I'm working toward getting born again. That's the problem with people. That's why I'm saying here, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. If he starts it, he's going to finish it.
Yeah.
But a lot of times we get, like Brother Brown says, even a good work of sanctification. Man, we think we're religious, or we start doing the things of God and go to church. See, that's just sanctification. You have to be really, really careful that when you come to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that God starts teaching you things. That's what we were talking about at Brother Tim's. I did it all through the Bible. I didn't read but about three quotes from Brother Brown. But all through the Bible, you look, you say, yeah, those who are justified, he's already glorified. And the key I want you to see is you got to run this race with patience. Now, when you get justified, Brother Tim made a good comment afterwards, because, you know, you can say that so much till you can just go into greasy grapes. Well, I'm justified. It don't matter if I was a child molester, I can still go back to doing what I was doing. I'm okay. You know, that's, I'm going to make it real bad, because that's what he knew. A guy in the message that was a song leader that used that in court.
Yeah.
He went to natural court and told the judge, he said, God has washed me from that vile thing I did, and I'm not guilty. Because Brother Brown says, the real you didn't do it. Well, now, that guy needed a birth.
That's right.
Because he didn't run with patience. What he done was Satan entered in and told him everything was fine. Now, I know, listen, you gotta believe one thing for sure. That's a real fine line. Because remember, there's a brother that Brother Brown was associated with, Pat Tyler. Pat Tyler was a gunslinger. He was a killer.
Right.
He killed people before he came to the message,
right,
before he got born again. Well, you know what? He's not a killer anymore, but you know what he didn't do? He didn't use it as a crutch. He didn't go to natural court and say, I didn't do that, the real me didn't do it. Well, you know what? If you talk like that, yeah, the real you did do it. But you do have to come to a place to where you see that if you had things in your life, because what's the difference in a child molester and somebody that smokes and drinks? What's the difference? Sin, sin. Rahab the harlot. She was a harlot.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Until her accusers got done away with. But you got to remember one thing for sure. You got to make sure you keep that in your mind that, yeah, that old you didn't do that if you're truly born again. And God will never hold that against you. But you better be careful, because what you did in the body. And there's still that mental memory, reason, conscience, faith, and imagination that still motivates you to a degree. So what I'm saying is, be careful. Let's just not walk around and say, well, the real me didn't do it anyway. I did this. If, be careful. Because the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse everything but blaspheme in the Holy Ghost. Okay? So we got to look at that. If that man would have approached it right, the child molester would have approached it right, he'd be okay, because you can't hold that. If God truly justified him, then he'll never have to give an account for that. But you can't bring it in and justify. The whole thing's what I was trying to get the people to see is the Bible says the just and the justifier is the same. Now, if God justifies you, you're justified.
That's right.
But the problem is we put some me in there.
Right.
I try to justify the things that I did or do or whatever, right? But if you'll just leave it on Christ, because looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, in other words, he started, then he gives that faith to us, so it's our faith, and then he guides us up this pyramid to this capstone, which is divine love, the love of God. Now really, you get the love of God down here. If you're born again, you have the love of God in your soul.
Right.
You're just as born again as you'll ever be born again. You're bride of Christ. You're going in the rapture. If you pass away, you're going to be in the resurrection. You're going to take a body change, because those who is justified, he's already glorified. All right? But let's not use that as a crutch to say, well, you know, I don't have to worry about my past. Well, you don't have to worry about your past, but quit bringing it up and quit using it as a crutch.
That's right.
Right? Be careful with that. We still have a spirit realm that is in this world, motivated by this world. Memory, reason, conscious, effect. If those five things, write them on your refrigerator. If they don't bother you, pray for me, because they bother me.
Right.
My memory of the things I've done, I can't erase that. My reasoning against the Word of God. My imagination. Good grief, there ain't no imagination in God. Whatever he thinks happens. Right? Whatever he thinks is going to happen. All right, but not with us. And our affection is not, it's not that affection.
Right.
It's filial love.
Right.
All right? And then with memory, reason, conscious. Man, you're conscious is what kills me. Being conscious of things. You be conscious of what's going on. Be conscious. So those five things, but you don't have to. Look, God's already cleaned the inside guy up. If you're born again. He's trying to work his way out this way. Satan's trying to get back into his house, because we read the book of, read there in Luke where it says the unclean spirit goes out of a man, walks in dry places, seeks rest, finds none. Comes back in, it says, my house. Satan says, I've come back to my house. You have to be careful. If you let him back in, then the state is seven times worse.
That's why it says endure to the end.
That's what those who endure to the end. Yeah, it's not a cakewalk.
Not party to the end.
Mm-mm. No, no party time. But looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and to your faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured, there's the word, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Let me tell you a little something. Had a brother, we were talking about something the other day, and he was at a certain church, and I hate it when I just can't. I can't see the wisdom in people that if somebody is like, we were talking about a while ago about, you know, if a woman comes into church, and there was Cindy, mind if I use you, several years ago, Cindy comes walking in, short hair and pants on. Okay? Did we say anything about that? No, I'm sure Donnie and him did. But we didn't, right? You let that, you don't just sit there and blast the person. We've seen that happen. I don't think that's God.
Right.
I don't think that's God that's, you know, and the preacher told me one time, he said, I had to hit that. The woman sat right in front of him, short hair. First service, she come in from Pentecost. First service, came in, sat down in front. And that preacher, everybody could have left. He was preaching on her. And you know what? That probably bruised her. And then afterwards, that's what he told me. He said, well, I had to hit that. You know, she walked in the door with that. And I just looked at him and shut my head. But, don't let me forget
my thought. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But, so, this brother went to this other brother's church. And he preached on, we've had enough teaching. Now we need a demonstration. I just don't know where these people get this at. The problem is he ain't had enough teaching.
Right.
To say what he did. He and the person it came from, he needed some teaching. But what he was doing was, is he was telling this brother that the reason you're not preaching today is because we don't need any of that anymore. Now, buddy, that's kind of narrow-minded right there. We don't need any of that. We need a demonstration. I don't know what they think about demonstration is. Look at the healings and the power of God that's went on in this church. They want it to happen every day. What, you know what they're wanting? They're wanting Brother Branham's anointing to come back to where they have a prayer line every service and everybody's healed and everybody's that's gone, folks. That's gone. It's gone. That was a one-man message as far as that was concerned. Amen?
Right.
Amen?
Yes, they're trying to get in by works. You're right. And I told y'all 20 years ago, Satan's going to put a man in this message with signs and wonders, and they ain't going to care what he preaches. They're going to go, and that's what everything's turning to now. Signs and wonders and all this person, you ought to go through their prayer line. And that's okay if you need it, but man, when are we going to stand on our own two feet?
That's putting the attention on the person up there having prayer line.
You know what Brother Claude said? This is really good. I think Brother Claude said, if you receive your healing sitting in the seat, God gets all the glory.
Right.
If you walk up to the front of the church and Brother Dale, I don't care, me or Donnie Reagan or whoever, lays hands on you and you, what you're going to say is, I got healed because,
right.
So you know what you're doing? You're giving 50% of the glory to that man and 50% to God, and that don't work.
Right.
See, that's why God said when he was here on earth, he said, I found no greater faith when that all the Gentiles said, hey, you just speak the word.
Right.
Speak the word.
Yeah.
Don't touch me. You don't have to touch me.
Amen.
You don't have to go in my house.
Yeah.
But then you got Jairus and all them. Oh, come to my house and we'll put your hands in.
They didn't shout. They didn't do anything.
No, did not.
He just said, speak the word.
And I told them many times before, Jesus never screamed at a demon and Brother Brown never screamed at a demon.
No.
Right.
There's no way to scream at a demon. Now, you might get him to leave for a little while. He's just going to come right back. You know why? Because Brother Brown said even that maniac that fell at his feet. Somebody asked him, said, was he delivered of that? And Brother Brown said, no, it just came right back because the guy loved that demon. Okay? So, but I just don't know. I want to understand that power without character is satanic. Everybody's wanting the power, 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 power. God's not going to give us the power to we're able to handle it.
Right.
Because look at Peter and Paul. Man, I mean, they just looked at, I mean, Paul and Peter said, look on us, no hands laid on, only for the Holy Ghost. And Paul rebuked that girl and rebuked the demon in the girl, you know. And every time I see a demon in the Bible, they're screaming at Jesus or they're screaming at the person. The person's not screaming at them. And Brother Branham, during the prayer line, calm as a cucumber, never screamed, didn't have to, because you know what? That's supreme power and control.
He kind of lowered his voice.
That's correct. He never screamed. I don't know why these people have to. I'm sorry. You know why? Because it's this.
Yes. Yep.
You're stoking this right here, and it's only temporary. Yes.
That's what everybody's looking for.
It's only temporary. But we got to endure to the end. For consider him who? Jesus Christ. And my whole point was, when Jesus was healing the people, he was very popular.
Right.
But when that's what I told this brother, I said, look, to me that's a compliment. I hate it for the brother that said it behind the pulpit, but the brother sitting out, I said, look, they hated Jesus when he started preaching doctrine. When he started teaching, they hated him and they cut him off. Who did? The religious people today. Well, who's the religious people today? Not Baptist, Methodist, and Pentecostal.
Right.
Can't say that, but it is. And so you're going to be hated because you're trying to teach the people the message instead of some emotion. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against him, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. So what he's saying is, there's going to be contradiction in your life, but remember you must endure.
That's right.
You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. So what is he saying? You hadn't been hung on a cross. Nobody has went through what Jesus went through. Nobody. I mean, even Peter, they hung him upside down, but they didn't stick a spear in his side and beat him with a can of nine tails and pull his beard out with their hands. All right, so Jesus endured all that for us. So that we don't have to do that. We don't have to get on a cross. We bear a cross.
Amen.
Difference.
Right.
He don't want you to get up on a cross. He wants you to bear that cross. All right. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you, as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. In other words, Paul, what are you saying? We're going to go through chastisement. We're going to go through a little rebuke. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. I was thinking the other day, we've had two deaths that were, one was very tragic. With Brother Joe Reynolds' daughter was killed in a car wreck, 16 years old. And, you know, I was thinking, I said, Lord, we do question, but we don't. As Christians, you cannot question what God has done. You can't.
Right.
You cannot. And then Brother Tim and I was talking, and it's true. See, God knows what would have happened to that poor, that girl if her life would have continued on. Who knows? Only He knows. And then Brad Johnson, 62 years old, Brother David Johnson's oldest brother, died of a heart attack. You know, some of the things you know, but as Christians, we must not, cannot question God. We can't. He knows best. He's got it all under control. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow.
Right.
All right. Sure, in our humanity, we do. We always do. I'm sure Brother Joe Reynolds was just devastated. But being a Christian, that's where your anchor has got to hold in and say, hey, God, you know what's best for the whole plan. All right. And I believe they said she was a believer. She, you know, that she lived a good Christian life. So you'll see her. Don't worry. You'll see your loved ones. Don't worry about them. It's the separation of what hurts us. It's the separation of family and seeing them alive.
Memory, reason,
conscious, affection, imagination. That's what kills us. Right? You have not resisted unto blood. You have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as to children. My son, despise not thou the chastising of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure, there's that word again, endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Boy, you don't want to be called that. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us and give them reverence. We went through that. Let's get on down to here. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. You see that? Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and therefore many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, remember he was the firstborn, he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For ye are not coming to the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor into blackness and darkness and tempest. Now he goes all the way back to the children of Israel in the wilderness journey. Right? And the sound of a trumpet and the voice of the words, which voice they that heard entreated that the words should not be spoken to them anymore. What did they say? The people said, Moses, we don't want God to speak to us anymore. You go let him talk to you. You come down here. And the Bible says, they said, we'll do whatever you say. They lied. They did not do whatever they said. Right? Here he's interpolating. You got your parentheses now. Okay? He's interpolating. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are coming to Mount Zion. Mm-hmm. Brother Brown said there'd be a Mount Zion, Mount Carmel, Mount Transfiguration, all those showdowns. But ye have come into Mount Zion and into the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, now not one on earth, and to an innumerable company of angels. Me and Brother Claude were talking the other day about if you could just look in another dimension at what's going on, all the things that's going on, we think, man, this is it. This is our little center of the universe and there's nothing else going on. No, there's millions and billions of angels running this place for God. Keeping you, every person's got an angel, every believer's got an angel, a personal angel.
Right.
right? Children have angels. You got angels that deliver this and deliver that. You got all these different Gabriel, and you got Michael. They're real. They're not fake. They're real angels.
Right.
And they're in a faster dimension, but they're helping us. Read your Bible. You go read your Bible. But it even says right here, and to an innumerable company of angels. So as, remember when Elisha and Gehazi, Elisha could see in another dimension, and he saw nothing but angels. And he said, please open Gehazi's eyes, Lord, just for a minute, and let him see what's going on. And he did, and there was what? When Elisha said, there's more for us than they are against us, and there was only two people standing there, he saw something that Gehazi didn't see. But Gehazi, when he could look in that other dimension, by God allowing him to look in another dimension, what did it do? It took the fear away. So I think today we need to take the fear away of anything that's going on. Let's don't be foolish. But let's remember that God's got this whole thing in control. I say foolish by means I'm a son of God. I'm going to go stand out in the middle of that road and there's nothing going to hit me. No, well, we'll be doing your funeral.
Right.
You might go to heaven, but there might be an angel there going, why'd you do that? I couldn't stop the train. But you understand what I'm saying? Let's not go over on the other side. And say, well, whatever I do, it doesn't matter. But we're fearful, not fearful as like this. We shouldn't fear being a Christian, but you need to have just a little bit of godly fear, knowing that He's the one that's in control. Because He's talking to us, look, to the General Assembly and the Church of the Firstborn. Now, you and I are the Church of the Firstborn. Because what? Christ is the Firstborn, the first one to come up out of the grave, which are written in heaven. So there you are, you're written in heaven. And to God, the Judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. All right? And to Jesus, the Mediator of the New Covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. So what? It was Jesus' blood. Not the blood of a sacrifice with Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost speaketh from heaven, not from up there, but inside here. Right? Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also the heaven. Now, we're talking about this time. Brother Brown speaks on that. He shook the earth at one time. Now, he's going to shake the earth and heaven. Why is he going to shake it? Because of us. All nature under the sixth seal, all nature is going to be brought into subjection to the sons of God. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. And what's he saying? Everything in you, your memory, reason, conscience, faith, and imagination are going to be shook. And everything that's going to be shook, when something shakes, you just kind of, when you shake something, what happens? Parts fall off. Yeah. All right? When your car shakes enough, parts start falling off. All right? So that's the thing, what God's doing with us. Because the weight that so easily besets us, right? The weight that so easily besets us, we're supposed to shed it. And He may, as we read down through here, He may bring something to your attention in your life that needs to be shook. And He's going to shake it.
Right.
That's what He said. So you're not a bastard, you're a son. So He's going to shake you. And be thankful that He shakes you, because there's old parts going to fall off. There's old ideas and all these different things are going to fall off.
That's right.
That those things which cannot be shaken may remain. That's why this thing's been going on for 60 years after the prophet. God has been shaking the people. Getting rid of the riffraff. Brother Brown says, when they begin to say, I and my Father are one, and these other things, the shoke will pull away. Well, what's the shoke? That's that old Pentecostal idea. Okay? And the old Pentecostal idea is what? Shout, speaking in tongues, running aisles. That's what they're wanting. I don't mind that. But you better know what you're doing first, because, you know, the devil can do all that. But he can't be the Word.
Right.
He can't be the Word. He cannot put the Word together word for word, Sunday by Sunday. He cannot do it. Somewhere he'll go off.
Right.
Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, thank God, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence, that's what I said, look, and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire.
Yes.
And that's what happens at your new birth. I believe he brings that consuming fire. Because watch, now remember, we're going to stop right here, but look, remember it's a continuation. It's not chapter. Man's put the chapters in there, but Paul's talking. He said, God is a consuming fire. Let brotherly love continue. Because remember, they had the brotherly love. But now remember, what happened at this brotherly love or brotherly kindness? When Ananias and Sapphira lied to Peter, he said, you didn't lie to me, you lied to the Holy Ghost. And they died. Because what were they doing? Brother Brown said, in brotherly kindness, what that happened was is that everything was common. They had everything together. They brought everything together.
Right.
And Ananias and Sapphira said, yes. See, if they would have answered the question a little bit different, they might have been okay. But Paul said, Peter said, if you give all, they said, yes. Peter could have said, if you give all you're going to give, they said, yes, they might have been okay. But he said, if you give all. And then Ananias said, yes, we'd give all. Well, they had held back a part. And then what happened was they died. You think, boy, that's brotherly kindness. You'd think in your humanity, that's not brotherly kindness. That was what? That was shaking, what we always call shaking the bushes. You go outside and shake the bushes and all kind of stuff falls out.
All right.
So that's what God was doing. He was shaking the bushes. And that's what's happening now. If God turns against you because you're wanting to hear more of the Word of God and you're wanting to get it right, because remember, before we go, there are teachers in the message. I believe we have some good ones. But now some teachers are kindergarten teachers. You say, when you say teacher, you go, no, there's kindergarten teachers. Anna's a kindergarten teacher, my sister. I don't know that she can go teach college the next day. No. She'd have to study a little bit more. And probably a little bit harder instead of going, stop doing that, quit doing that. You understand what I mean? So there's kindergarten teachers, there's elementary school teachers, there's high school teachers and college teachers. And a lot of times they don't mix. Why? Because it's the people they're dealing with.
Right.
Okay? So there are teachers out there that teach kindergarten. But they've got to be teachers that teach college so that, what, you can stand on your own two feet. Because kindergarten, you know, you can't even hardly stand on your own two feet. Ask Anna, she'll tell you. They can't go to the bathroom by themselves and all this other stuff. Ask Lisa. That's babies. So there's teachers that teach babies. And then you have to figure out where you are in the body of Christ and figure out where you need to go. But remember, you got to have five folds of it. Let's not be so narrow-minded, well, we just teaching and throw everybody else out. No, you need an evangelist to come every once in a while. What? Shake the bushes.
Yeah.
Right. All right? All these different things. You need somebody to come by, and it takes five. Right? But you do need good, solid teaching, because good, solid teaching will take you up to the stature of a perfect man. It will not. I mean, regular preaching will not take you up to the stature of a perfect man. Will not. It may get you born again. It may get you to realize you need something. But the prophet of God said, teaching places you in the body. So I want to be placed, because you know what? Like I said before, power without character, satanic. The power of the Holy... Listen, we all have the power of the Holy Ghost inside of us to create a world, the prophet of God said. Create it and go live on it. But you know what? One day we just might be able to do that, but right now we're not. There's a bar holding us. What's that bar? That bar is that you and I got to have more teaching. Because power without character, I love that quote, power without character. But power with characters fit the rule. So you come up here to where Peter can sit in a building and discern Ananias and Sapphira, or discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. And that's okay that we went through the first pull, like me and Brother Clark was talking about a little while ago. First pull was what? Taking the people by the hand. You know that's why they had to be a prayer line? Brother Branham started prayer lines. No one else. You can't find it nowhere in history that a prayer line was started by no one else. So they'll always tell you Brother Branham spearheaded the healing campaign. You know why he had that prayer line? He had to touch the people. He couldn't call them out. He had to touch them, so he had to bring them to a line and grab their hand, and then all that would happen. He had to physically touch them, so he lined them up and had prayer line. So, but now remember, that was first pull. Second pull was what? The thoughts and intents of the heart. But as Claude said, he said, you go to church, Christ is the mystery God revealed. At the very end of the service, he said, see the clock? He said, strike 2:00. He said, the second pull is over. He said, can people not understand that? The second pull is over. So no more prayer lines, no more discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart in a prayer line. The third pull is the opening of the word. All right. So second pull in 1963 was over, as according to Brother Brown. He said, second pull is over, third pull is at hand.
Right.
All right, so but a lot of people hadn't moved. They kind of stuck in that going around forum, you know. But let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for therefore some have entertained what?
Angels
unaware. All right, let's go.
Frida was going to say something in a minute.
No, it was just the experience.
Thanks.